Unrest in the Middle East. The economic crisis in Europe. Iran threatens Israel. The moral decay of America. What are the prophetic trends, and why is prophecy important? Stephen LeBlanc discusses these issues and the events surrounding the return of Jesus Christ. And now for World Watch Today, Stephen LeBlanc.
So we're taking a look at Syria today in prophecy. Let me summarize the problem. Syria is a battle zone that is home to ISIS. It is also home to the Shia Alawite leader Bashar al-Assad, who rules Syria. Syria is home to a patchwork of Sunni rebel groups. It is also home now to Russian troops. Russia has a presence in Syria. Iran has a presence in Syria. Israel has bombed parts of Syria. Hezbollah, we're talking about Lebanon, Hezbollah fighters are now fighting in Syria. America and Turkey are involved in Syria. Saudi Arabia and the Gulf Council is involved in Syria. Syria has become a magnet for Sunni Shia Muslim civil war. And Syria serves as a magnet for a proxy war between the nations of Russia and Iran, who are on one side, and Saudi Arabia, Turkey, and the Arab Middle East, who are on the other side. What we're seeing in Syria is we're seeing a fight that has gotten out of control, and more nations are taking sides in Syria. Syria has become the world's great proxy battleground. This is why Syria is so very important. Let me use this metaphor. Syria is a hockey fight gone out of control, a fight that is moving from the ice, and it's moving up into the stands. So it's not hard to understand why Syrians are fleeing their nation. Bashar al-Assad, the regime leader in Syria, has targeted civilians ruthlessly, killing civilians with chemical weapons and barrel bombs. Now, the civil war in Syria has killed a shocking 275,000 people. The war has displaced half of the population of Syria, and it's caused 1 in 5 Syrians, that's 4 million people, to flee the country. More than 11 million others in Syria have been forced from their homes. Overall, an estimated 12.2 million Syrians are in need of humanitarian assistance inside Syria, including 5.6 million children. This is what the United Nations tells us. Sometimes we forget that millions of children are impacted when there is a civil war. Remember, we're seeing one of the largest refugee exoduses in recent history. Neighboring countries have borne the brunt of the refugee crisis, with Lebanon, Jordan, and Turkey struggling to accommodate the flood of all these new arrivals. Just to give you a sense of scale, the little country of Lebanon, just north of Israel, Lebanon has a population of almost 5 million people in total. 1 million of those 5 million are said to be refugees from the war in Syria and Iraq. Remember, we're talking about the troubles in the Middle East, and we have already mentioned that we believe Syria is the fountainhead of these troubles. Now, these troubles are severe, and these troubles are making their way to Europe. The chaos is reaching Europe, hundreds of thousands from the Middle East. I'm talking about thousands from Syria, Iraq, even North Africa, and Afghanistan are now moving into southern Europe. They are desperately trying to get to nations such as Sweden, Germany, or the United Kingdom, anywhere they can go in Europe where they believe they can be taken care of by the government, or perhaps pursue a better life. Now, over 1 million refugees poured into Europe back in 2015. But here we are, in 2016, they're expecting another 2 to 3 million refugees to press their way into European cities over the next 12 months. This is creating political havoc in Europe. And now back to Syria. Adding to the hell taking place in Syria, you have ISIS. ISIS in Syria. ISIS controls parts of Syria, and it's subjected Syrians to murder, torture, crucifixion, sexual slavery, and other appalling atrocities. And then there are other groups such as Jabhat al-Nusra, which has tortured and killed thousands of civilians as well. This refugee problem is extremely serious. Did you realize that there are more displaced people today around the world than the total population of Italy? So in other words, if we're talking about all the refugees in the world today, we're talking about a population of 64 million people. If they were a single country, they would rank as the 24th most populous country in the world today. They have nearly the population of France, and handily, they have more people than Spain, Colombia, or South Korea. Now, the center of the Middle East has been raped. It's been turned into a whirlpool of competing forces. Between the Lebanese and Iranian borders, there is a massive leadership vacuum that exists today, with different factions, different tribes, even different countries vying to fill that vacuum. In obliterating the Syria-Iraq border, the Islamic State has created a headquarters for a caliphate, a transnational power, and more precisely, a transnational power that transcends borders. The daily tragedies, the brutality, the violence that is going on all over the Middle East, well, particularly in Syria and also in Iraq, well, it calls to mind Bible prophecies about Ishmael, the descendants of Ishmael, that the descendants of Ishmael himself would be a wild man, a very independent man. The Bible calls him an ass of a man, meaning extremely independent, like the wild donkeys are in the Middle East, that his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. That's a prophecy you can review in the book of Genesis, chapter 16, and verse 12. It's playing out here today in the Middle East, which is becoming even more and more violent. Now, this bears repeating again. I've mentioned this, a number of times on the broadcast. It's been a while since I've mentioned this proverb, but I'll say it right now. Once again, it's an Arab proverb. It's a Bedouin proverb. It's just playing out perfectly today. This is the mentality. This is what the Bedouin say of themselves. Me against my brother. My brother and I against our cousin. Myself, my brother, and our cousin against the neighbors, and all of us against the foreigner. Now, that proverb is poignant because it just shows there just seems to be a spirit of brother against brother, tribe against tribe, that dominates the Middle East. It's dominated Middle East history. We're seeing a massive flare-up of that hostility today. We're living in the days spoken about in the book of Isaiah, chapter 17, Psalm 83, and let's not forget the prophecies about Damascus recorded in Jeremiah, chapter 49. We'll get to those prophecies a little bit later in today's broadcast. Today, I have a special offer for you. It's entitled, Why? Why is what's taking place in Syria so important? Why is the Russian incursion into Ukraine so very important? And what about the actual invasion of Europe by refugees coming from the Middle East and North Africa and Afghanistan? Why is that important, and how does it relate to biblical prophecy? What about Israel and Hezbollah? Did you realize that Israel and Hezbollah are about ready to go to war? Why is this significant? What does the Bible have to say about this particular issue? This special and new subscriber service, which we send to you free of charge, where we send an audio CD to you regarding a subject where we go in depth concerning a world news item as it relates to Bible prophecy, we send it to you free of charge approximately once per month. You can reach us toll free, ask for why, ask to be put on the subscription list. That toll free number is 1-877-449-6753. It's a toll-free call. The number is 1-877-449-6753. And now let's take a quick look at a prophecy in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 49. It's a prophecy against Damascus and Arabia. Jeremiah chapter 49, beginning in verse 23, going through to verse 33, is directed against Damascus. Remember, Damascus is the metropolitan capital of Syria, and it represents the nation of Syria as a whole. Syria, to the north of the land of Israel today, was usually a hostile neighbor to ancient Israel and Judah, and today it remains a hostile neighbor to the modern Jewish state of Israel. The city of Damascus is considered by many to be the oldest continuously inhabited city in the world today. And now to Jeremiah chapter 49 and verse 23, here's the prophecy against Damascus. Hamath and Arpad are shamed, for they have heard the bad news. They are faint-hearted. There is trouble on the sea. It cannot be quiet. And Damascus has grown feeble. She turns to flee, and fear has seized her. Anguish and sorrows have taken her like a woman in labor. Now, that certainly seems to describe Damascus today, but I'm not saying that the prophecy in Jeremiah chapter 49 is being completed right now. I think this prophecy is an end-time prophecy. It's yet to take place in its total fulfillment. This is yet in the future. Verse 26 speaks about the young men of Damascus in the future. It says, "Therefore her young men shall fall in her streets, and all the men of war shall be cut off in that day, says the Lord of hosts." Now that expression, "in that day," most of the time is a reference to the very end of time when Jesus Christ returns to this earth. We're talking about the day of the Lord, or those few short months leading up to the return of Jesus Christ. Verse 27, "I will kindle a fire in the wall of Damascus, and it shall be consumed." Now let's get back to that reference in the passage we just read in Jeremiah chapter 49, where it says, "trouble on the sea, which cannot be quiet." This seems to refer to an invasion of Syria's Mediterranean coast from the sea, something that did not happen in Nebuchadnezzar's invasion of that country. And then there's a reference which mirrors what is said in Luke chapter 21 and verse 25 through 26. "And there will be on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, and the sea and the waves roaring, and men's hearts failing for them from fear and expectations of those things which are coming upon the earth." We're talking about Syria. Why is Syria so very important? Syria used to be a nation of close to 22 million people. It's now imploding. It's engulfed in a horrific, vicious civil war. Now, there are several prophecies in your Bible concerning Syria and its capital, Damascus. We'll get to more of those prophecies in just a moment. Remember, Syria is a complicated nation. It always has been very complicated in Syria. The 22 million population comprises various ethnic and religious groups. Now, this would include the Kurds, the Armenians, the Assyrians, Christians, Druze, Alawite Shias, and Arab Sunnis. Remember that about 75% of the population of Syria is Sunni Muslims, but the minority Alawite population actually rules the country. Remember, Alawites are a version of Shia. Now, the sect of Assad rules the country. Remember, they are Alawite Shiites. And this creates all types of problems because you have a minority ruling the country, the Shiites, ruling over the dominant population, which is Sunni, so there's a lot of tension. Syria has had good relations with Iran, including defense ties. It has good relations with Russia. Russia and Iran and Hezbollah in Lebanon are the close allies of Syria. Russia is one of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad's most important international backers. You have to remember that Moscow wants to protect a key naval facility in Syria. It actually leases this facility, and the facility is located at the Syrian port of Tartus, which serves as Russia's only Mediterranean base for its Black Sea fleet. And also, Russia has an Air Force base in Latakia, Syria. Syria's conflict has devolved from peaceful protests against the government going back to 2011 to a violent insurgency that exists right now that is drawn in numerous other countries. Syria, it's partly a civil war of government against people, partly a religious war pitting Assad's minority Alawite sect aligned with Shiite fighters from Iran and Hezbollah in Lebanon, against Sunni rebel groups. And so increasingly, you're seeing in Syria a proxy war featuring Russia and Iran against the United States and its allies. So this insane civil war has killed nearly 300,000 people, displaced half of the country's population, 11 million people are displaced, and has facilitated the rise of ISIS. An end to the Syrian conflict is nowhere in sight, and more countries are being drawn into the mayhem. The wildly divergent goals and interests of regional and global actors in Syria continue to play out in the Syrian civil war. Syria has become a swamp of trouble and heartache. The Turks, we're talking about the nation of Turkey, they are deeply concerned by the enhanced Russian and Iranian presence in Syria. The nation of Turkey doesn't like the Russians, nor does it like Iran. Now, a recent significant development out of Saudi Arabia has occurred just recently. Saudi Deputy Crown Prince and Defense Minister Prince Mohammed bin Salman announced the creation of an Islamic military coalition, and this coalition will consist of 34 countries, mostly Arab countries. So here is an abbreviated list of these nations, mostly Islamic, who have pledged to fight against the Islamic State. In addition to Saudi Arabia, the coalition will include Jordan, the United Arab Emirates, Pakistan, Bahrain, Bangladesh, Benin, Turkey, Chad, Togo, Tunisia, Djibouti, Senegal, Sudan, Sierra Leone, Somalia, Gabon, Guinea, the Palestinians, Comoros, Qatar, the Ivory Coast, Kuwait, Lebanon, Libya, the Maldives, Mali, Malaysia, Egypt, Morocco, Mauritania, Niger, Nigeria, and Yemen. Now, how much these nations will actually get involved in their fight against the Islamic State, it's yet to be seen. It's a matter of degree. And adding to all of this confusion taking place in Syria, we now see that Egypt has sided to a certain degree with the Syrian government in its war against the rebels. Now, this is a position that further creates strain between Egypt and Turkey. Now, Egypt and Turkey, these are both Sunni Muslim nations. Egypt is increasingly looking to strengthen its diplomatic and military ties with Russia. Remember, Turkey doesn't like Russia. And remember, Russia is also supporting the Syrian government of Assad. So now I'd like to get down to the specific facts. Why is Syria so very important in terms of world events and biblical prophecy? I have 7 points I want to mention to you today to bring to your attention regarding the importance of Syria. So here is point number 1. Syria is the headquarters for ISIS, and the city of Raqqa in northern Syria is that headquarters city for ISIS. Raqqa has a population of 220,000 people. Point number 2. Syria is the fountainhead for the recent refugee crisis impacting Europe. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people from the Middle East, including Syria, are leaving for Europe. So what's taking place in the Syrian civil war? It has sparked a massive migration of Muslims from other areas of the Middle East and Africa, and including Afghanistan. Nearly 2 million Muslims will try to enter Europe in the year 2016. The implosion of Syria has destabilized all the Middle East. Point number 3. Syria is the hub of the proxy war featuring Russia, Iran, and Hezbollah against the United States and its allies, which includes Saudi Arabia, Jordan, and the Gulf states. So Syria is the area, the hub for this horrible proxy war, which is only getting worse. Point number 4. Never forget, Syria is an enemy of Israel. It's also a friend of Iran. Point number 5. Syria provides a base, a naval base for Russia at its port of Tartus, which serves as Russia's sole Mediterranean base for its Black Sea fleet. And now point number 6. Syria will be destroyed as outlined in biblical prophecies revealed to us in the book of Isaiah chapter 17 and Jeremiah chapter 49. Syria is also mentioned in Amos chapter 1. And now to the final point, point number 7. Syria has become an enemy of Turkey. Many of the Edomites of prophecy reside in Turkey. Turkey was one of the earliest countries to invest heavily in the overthrow of the Assad regime in Syria. Now, Turkey wages war on the Syrian Kurds, who, remember, are the Islamic State's most effective opponents. That's right, the Kurds have successfully fought against the Islamic State. Now, early on, Turkey wanted to foster a Sunni-majority government in Syria, preferably run by a local branch of the Muslim Brotherhood. This would deprive Turkey's two historical rivals, Russia and Iran, of an important client state, while at the same time allowing Turkey to gain power in the region. I know this is all very complicated. And to add to that complication, another layer of complexity here, you have Hezbollah fighters from Lebanon who are fighting in Syria. Hezbollah fighters have recently increased in numbers on the front lines in northern Syria. Now, the presence of Lebanon-based Hezbollah fighters in Syria, and the numbers have grown significantly, this worries Israel. And don't forget that Hezbollah, we're talking about the terrorist organization which resides in southern Lebanon, Hezbollah is considered to be an arch enemy of Israel. Another point to consider is that this conflict in Syria is exposing that there is a deteriorating relationship between the United States and Saudi Arabia under President Barack Obama. And Saudi officials have repeatedly pressed the White House to take more aggressive steps to check what they say is Iran's region-wide efforts to destabilize Arab countries. Remember, Saudi Arabia and Iran are enemies. Iran is Shia, Saudi Arabia is Sunni. So what we've seen just recently in the Middle East illustrates the underlying hatred between Saudi Arabia and Iran. So just recently, what we saw was a watershed moment, which occurred when thousands of Iranian protesters stormed and ransacked the Saudi embassy in Iran. Now, this fallout of Saudi Arabia's execution of a Shiite cleric, it's spreading beyond just a mere spat between the Saudis and the Iranians. Other Middle East nations are choosing sides, and world powers Russia and China have weighed in. Bahrain announced recently that it was severing diplomatic ties with Iran, citing Iran's, quote, blatant and dangerous interference, unquote, in Bahrain and other countries. You have the United Arab Emirates, and they are downgrading their diplomatic relations with Iran. And the diplomatic row has spread to Africa, where Sudan, a majority Sunni Muslim country, weighed in on the side of Saudi Arabia. It has expelled the Iranian ambassador and the entire Iranian diplomatic mission in the country of Sudan. So remember, basically in the Middle East, we have this huge divide. It is a war by proxy, a cold war taking place between Saudi Arabia and Iran. It's a war about geopolitics. It's about power. It's about influence. This Muslim civil war is one of the biggest drivers of conflict in the Middle East today. It's enormous. It's creating great tension and violence between Sunni and Shia. The wars in Syria and in Yemen split largely between Sunni and Shia. In Iraq, the country and its politics are divided between Sunni and Shia. And this has given an opening for ISIS to rise within Iraq. And now to one of the most intriguing Bible prophecies that we find at the time of the end. It has to do with this prophecy against Syria. I'm in the book of Isaiah chapter 17. In this prophecy, it points to the destruction of Damascus, Syria. Isaiah chapter 17 and verse 1. It says, "The burden of Damascus. Behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall become a ruinous heap." That has not taken place yet. It'll take place according to God's timing, not according to your timing or my timing, but according to God's timetable. Now, let's recall that Syria has played a steady role as the enemy of Israel. Syria took part in the wars of 1948, 1967, and 1973. Syria's long history of anti-Semitism will finally lead to its destruction. We also see this reflected again in the book of Amos, chapter 1, in verse 3. It says, "Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Damascus, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment against Damascus." In other words, God has determined to punish this great city of Damascus, and once again, God will determine the timing of that punishment. You can see just how tangled the Middle East is, how terribly destructive and hostile the nations are. We're talking about tribe against tribe, brother against brother. And of course, that hostility spills over to Israel because so many of these Arab nations would like to see Israel cease from existence. It will take the return of Jesus Christ to this earth as he overthrows the leaders of the nations of the world. He will establish the kingdom of God on earth, and only then will the Middle East begin to see peace. You've been listening to our special broadcast, broadcast number 63, entitled Why Syria is Important. If you'd like to order today's message, phone us toll free at 1-877-449-6753. This is broadcast number 63. You can reach us toll-free at 1-877-449-6753. I'm Stephen LeBlanc for World Watch Today.
World Watch Today has been a presentation of the Church of God. To request literature or free audio CD of today's message, phone us toll-free at 1-877-449-6753. That number again is 1-877-449-6753. And don't forget to visit us on the web to view our latest blog on world news and prophecy. Our web address is worldwatchtoday.org. That's worldwatchtoday.org. Thanks for listening.